guys took a chance on opportunity, and you're all here now about to witness the one and only, the legendary, the godfather of greatness, Mr. Les Brown, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I am so honored to be here with you. Let's give Al a round of applause, a tremendous round of applause for the great job he and his staff has done. And let's give Cedric a round of applause. Wow, give him a tremendous round of applause. All right. And give yourselves a round of applause for showing up, all right? According to his purpose. And the night that I received the email and started reading, I felt a connection with Al. Let us say together, connection. Together, connection. How many of you have read something from someone you felt a connection? Raise your hands, please. I felt a connection. And I called him and we started talking like we've known each other for years. First of all, I couldn't believe how old he is. He's in his 30s. Old man voice. I'm 74. I used to think people in their 40s were old. Now that I'm 74, I feel like I was shining shoes at the Lord's Supper. Oh, behave, whatever. So. Everything that I need at this point in my life, he has all of that. I don't know what your goals are. I don't know what you want to do. But here's what I know. If you stay the course, if you feel that it's a calling on your life, you're going to have some tough times. You're going to go through some things. But I encourage you, don't give up. I encourage you to stay the course. Because it's real. All things do work together when you are in your calling. I was blessed with this book here, The Relationship Depot, with Reverend Jeremy Mahood. Where is he? Reverend Jeremy. Yeah, give him a round of applause. All right, yeah. I don't know what made him bring this book, but I sure need it now. Oh my God, I need this real bad. But I encourage you to get it. It's a book that I was back there reading in it, and it said, you are what you have committed yourself to. And I want you to think about your goal and dream, something that's important to you, something that gives your life a sense of value and importance and significance. My first major goal was to buy my mother a home, to take care of her. And most of you know my story. I was a foster kid, then mama adopted us. I stand on this stage because of two women. One gave me life, and the other one gave me love. God took me out of my biological mother's womb and placed me in the heart of my adopted mother. And as a kid, going to work with my mother, who cleaned homes on Miami Beach for wealthy families, and you might have gathered, I'm a mama's boy. And I would say, Mama, what is it, Leslie, when I become a man, I'm going to buy you a big, beautiful home just like this. And she would say, well, Leslie, you don't have to do that. And I said, no, Mama, but you didn't have to take us in either. Mama, she only had a third grade education, but she had a PhD in motherhood. She had drive and determination, and I admired her. I gave, when Father's Day came around, I gave her a Father's Day card because she was Mama and Daddy all wrapped in one. And that became my first personal goal. And I remember shining the shoes of Mr. Sadursky. Mr. Sadursky was a very wealthy man. He said to his son, David, David, you want to become successful? He said, watch wealthy people and do what they do. And watch poor people and don't do what they do. And so I watched him and studied him. And he listened to motivational messages all the time. Earl Nightingale, we become what we think about. I didn't exactly believe that at first because I thought about girls all the time. Oh, behave. I have issues. Okay, so. And Zig Ziglar, if you give enough people what they want, they will give you what you want. Jim Rohn, when the end comes for you, let it find you conquering a new mountain, not sliding down an old one. As I was listening to these messages, unbeknownst to me, it was expanding my vision of myself. I want you to think about some goal that you have, some dream that brought you here. I don't know you, but here's what I know about you. You and I are cut from the same cloth. We are branches of the same tree. If you did not know in your heart of hearts that you could do what I've done plus more, you would not be here. You'd be home watching television or some happy hour somewhere else. But you're in this room, and I now know at this stage of my life, at 74, things don't just happen. There are things that happen that have value and for meaning if you're aware. And as a result of this point in my life and this email, of all the thousands of emails on that day when I came in, and as I was saying to Ray today, which is Al's father and his mother that are here, I saw her. Give them a round of applause, please, and the whole staff. That night, I was thinking about my life and reflecting. I'd spent some time at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm a 27-year cancer conqueror because of God's grace and mercy. And that night, yes. I kept hearing them say that the medication they'd given me every 3 months, that it wasn't working anymore, and they were going to provide palliative care. And they were giving me something that they knew it would perhaps give me maybe 2 years. I said, what does palliative care mean? And so my friend was a nurse, and she said, that means they're going to make you comfortable. I said, make me comfortable? I'm going to fight for my life. I don't want to be comfortable. I need somebody on my team that will be ready to fight. I want to put up a fight. I'm not just going to leave here quietly. No, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? No. As you think about your goals and dreams, here's what I care about you. Hey, life is a fight for territory. If it's peace of mind, if it's your health, if it's your relationships, it's a fight for territory. And once you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will automatically take over. And so I want you to think about some personal goal. Mine was to buy my mother a home. I did that and took care of mama until she made her transition at 89. What's some personal goal that you'd like to achieve? Mine have changed. Now, my kids, I'm a grandfather and I'm a great-grandfather. And so my goal is to help them to develop their skills and knowledge, and I train speakers to help them to become voices of hope. We learn, we earn, we pass it on. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And here's what I know about you, and I don't know you. That whatever brought you here, don't stop. You want to have as many experiences as you possibly can, because you want experiences that will reinforce your sense of self. I don't know you here, but I know about you. You have something special. You have greatness in you. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. And I want you to be with that and marinate yourself in that, because we live in a world where we're told more about our limitations rather than our potential. And you, when you have goals and dreams, things are going to happen you can't imagine. I'll never forget when a doctor looked at me and said 27 years ago, you have cancer. Three of the most feared words in seven different languages. You have cancer. Can you give me a second opinion? Yes, and you're ugly too. Oh, behave, I'm sorry. I got problems. I got issues, okay. I tickle myself. Okay. So, and you know, it's amazing. I start praying every night. I used to pray in bed. I start getting out on my knees. I was called on Jesus, Yahweh. I was reading the Bible, the Holy Quran, the Kabbalah. It's amazing how spiritual you become when you think you're about to leave here. I increased my tithes by 20%. Look here. I'll never forget. Oral Roberts had this promotion. Oral Roberts, when he was alive, he said, you know, I have a special prayer cloth that he give you a healing. And so I'm listening. I was about to change the channel, and a guy came on. I had prostate cancer, and I bought the prayer cloth for $3, and I was healed in the name of Jesus. I said, oh, okay. So I pulled over. You know, I wrote the number down. I sent him $100. I said, send me the prayer box, a blanket. This is a true story. You can't make this stuff up. And they said, put it, the prayer cloth, in the affected area. So I stuffed it in my underwear, you know. So I'm in Detroit, Michigan, church pack. I had a PBS special called You Deserve. And so people were very glad to see me there. And I was up giving a presentation when I speak at that time. I was moving. Yes, you got to go after your dream. You got to give it everything you have. And I saw people of this side looking behind me laughing. I'm saying, what are they laughing about? I looked around and the prayer cloth had come down my leg. And I had left a little trail. I said, you can laugh if you want to. I don't care how much you laugh. I feel like I'm healed. I got behind the podium and put it right back in. That was 27 years ago. I got some on now, right now. They fit well and depends. Anyhow, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm turning red, but you can't see it. Okay. All right. I promise to be good. I promise to be good. Okay. So, so things going to happen to you in life. I'm telling you, if it hasn't, don't worry, just keep on living. Forrest Gump knew what he was talking about. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You know? So mental resiliency is very important, because you're going to take some hits. And so working on yourself, particularly now, there's no such thing as job security. This is a time where the late Peter Drucker called the era of the three C's: accelerated change, overwhelming complexity, and tremendous competition. So one of the things that I encourage people to do is have an ongoing process to work on yourself, because you're going to take some hits. And it's a part of this thing called life. In life, you're either in a problem or just left one or headed toward one. How many know that to be true? Raise your hands, please. And you will meet Murphy's Law. And if you don't know who he is, yes, don't worry. He's out in the parking lot waiting for you. You know? I never forget when I, early on, was building my business. And I had this phone call. I'd been calling around to build my business. And I was sleeping on the floor of the Penobscot building in my office, bathing in the sink. Down the hall, and the good times you put it in your pocket, the tough times you put it in your heart. And I had been calling a variety of companies, and I decided to call them back again. And this lady said, "You're not Les Brown, the motivational speaker." I said, "Yes." no. I said, I am. She said, I played one of your cassette tapes for my son. And he came home, he pulled up his pants and stopped smoking weed. He had dropped out of school. He's back in school now. He's on the honor roll. She said, I would love for you to come to our company. I said, is that right? She said, yes. And bring a lot of your cassette tapes, because our people love good material, and I will recommend you personally. I'll come on stage and tell them. I said, what do you think I should do in terms of product? What volume? She said, well, it's going to be over 6,000, 7,000 people at our convention. If you get like $50,000 worth of products, that would be great. I didn't have that line of credit, so I called the guy who's duplicating my materials. I said, listen, Arnold, listen, man, I've got an opportunity to speak, and they told me I should get at least $50,000 worth of tapes. I said, man, I need your help. He said, you don't have that line of credit. I said, I know, but let me just get her on the phone. And so I called her back, and I said, can you hear her voice? I had another line, and he said, yes. I said, tell him what you just told me. We're going to have about 6,000 to 7,000 people and Les Brown material. It changed my son's life, and I'm going to promote him personally on stage. I said, come on, oh ye, a little faith. Duplicate the tapes, man. I'm going to sell them all, and hung up. So he did. And she said she's going to send the contract out. We came by, no contract. 2 weeks came by, no contracts. I didn't want to seem desperate. 3 weeks, I start getting nervous. So I call. I said, hello, yes. This is Les Brown calling. May I speak to Evelyn, please? He said, Evelyn died. She died. Did she say anything about me? No. What are the arrangements? It told me it was like that Friday. Oh my God. So I was in Detroit. I flew to Chicago to make sure it was her, because I saw a picture of her, you know? And it was her. I said, oh my God, Evelyn, why now? So I was crying so hard, they sent me with the family. I know people probably thought I was the black sheep of the family. So, when I got back home, they delivered all those cassette tapes at the hotel, I mean at the Penobscot building. I was trying to sell them in the airport. I was looking like a Mooney. Would you like to buy some cassette tapes? I'll never forget when I went back to my hotel room and my materials looking at me saying, you got some motivation, now motivator? You got to be hungry, huh? Oh, my God. That was an experience. I was saying, you know, God, why would you let this happen to me? He said, yeah, why not you? Who would you suggest? Boy, it's called life, this thing called life. As you think about your goal and dream, let us say together, it's possible. Say it with conviction, it's possible. Let us say together, it's necessary. Yeah, you're going to go through some stuff, but you've got to decide that it's necessary, that you're going to live your dream in spite of the setbacks, in spite of the disappointments, in spite of people letting you down, in spite of things happening that you can't anticipate, in spite of running out of money, and in spite of people making promises, you can count on me, and they won't be there. It's a part of the process. Make it not strange that you face the fiery furnaces of this world. You will, not you might. You will have tribulations. It's a part of the process. Let us say together, I will grow through it. And become better because of it. Yes, it's been said in life you'll always be faced with a series of God-ordained opportunities, brilliantly disguised as problems and challenges. So it's necessary that you have a perpetual sense of optimism that no matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. Even when you have no evidence to support that. That's why we're taught, judge not according to appearances. Because things can happen that you can't even begin to imagine when you're committed and you give your all. I believe this. All things work together for good for those who love God and call according to his purpose. That there's a calling on your life. There's something that you're supposed to do. And sometimes we have to experiment to find it. I didn't do what I'm doing for 14 years because I don't have a college education. Because I was labeled educable mentally retarded and put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade and failed again in the eighth grade. Because I didn't believe I could compete with people with PhDs and MBAs and years of experience in corporations that I didn't have. I remember seeing Tony Robbins in an infomercial, and I sent Gunther Rinker and those guys one of my best speeches. And they said, man, you're good and you're black. And I wrote him back and said, I never would have known that if you had told me. And he said, we just don't think a black guy would have appeal to the average American public. And they wouldn't take me on as a partner. And they established that, you know, I had the complexion of rejection and Tony had the complexion of exception. Gave him a shot. All I wanted was a shot. And I'll never forget what my mentor said. He said, Brownie, he said, do what you do. Why are you here? What attracted you to this? I said, I want to change people's lives. Why, Brownie? Because someone changed mine. Good. He said, do what you do. Stay in your lane and do what you do. Master that. And trust me, the things that you don't have going for you, you're going to attract those things. You're going to attract the people, the resources, everything you need in order to make it. And there's some things that you hear that don't have value at that point in time, that as you continue to keep your commitment to your commitment, it begins to show up in your life. Have you seen that happen, please? I've never had up to this point, as long as I've been in this business, anyone that has a skill set that Al has. I've been doing this before he was born. Next year will be 50 years. And when I read now, your latter years will be better than your former years because of this collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships, because I kept a commitment through all the disappointments, through all the setbacks. I just kept holding on and kept falling forward. The things begin to happen. I can share with this with you. It's going to happen for you. You're going to go through some stuff that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to go through some stuff that you sometimes will feel powerless in the face of it, that you feel helpless, and it just doesn't look that there's any way that you can pull it off. But I can share with you, based upon what has happened to me, that don't give up. Hold on to your dream. Hold on. I remember when I was sleeping on the floor of the Penobscot building, and Larry D'Angi, he wrote a book called Soar with the Eagles, and my cousin Boo, who since made his transition, when the janitorial staff came in our office, I was on the 21st floor. 7 is my lucky number. I'm one of 7 children. My birthday is February 17th. And so we would hide in the closet from the janitorial staff. A new guy came on, and he heard a sound in the closet. Larry broke wind. I said, God, Larry! Guy opens the closet door. There we are in our underwear. I looked up. I said, it's not what you think, big boy. This guy backed up. He cracked up. He said, I'm not going to tell on you, I promise. He said, I wonder what you're going to say. I said, I know. I'm sorry, man. But you know you're not supposed to be up here. I said, I know. I said, no. I said, I'm going through this tough time now. I said, I know this is not an apartment, but just give me a shot. Don't tell on me this time. He said, I won't. And he did not. And finally, management did call me in and said, they didn't want me living in my office. And I said, if you will help me, sir. I said, you don't know me. I said, I'm right there. I'm right there. I said, you know, I said, I promised my mother I would take care of her. She adopted us. And I just need a little help right now. Repeat after me, please. Ask for help. Not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. Ask for help. And don't stop until you get it. And this guy, he said, okay. He said, all right, I will. I said, if you give me 60 days, I said, I'll make enough money that I'll pay the rent here and I can get some other offices. And he did. And I was asked to speak at a place called the Church of Today. Bless you. With Jack Boland. I got presence of mind, don't I? Don't let this 74 fool you, baby. I spoke at a place called the Church of Today in Warren, Michigan. And when I spoke there, people came out in strong numbers and traffic backed up. And one night, a television reporter came and said, hey, who are you? I said, my name is Les Brown. And he did an interview with me because it was unusual, the number of people who came out. A guy named Michael King, who was in a hotel room, and he was inebriated, and he said when he heard me speak that all of a sudden it jolted him, and he started listening. He called and asked at the Church of the Day, how can I get in touch with that guy? Then he called me in my office. He said, listen, I want to talk to you about doing a talk show like Larry King. What's his name? The guy who does those sleaze shows. I can't say. You know who I'm talking about. Sensation. What's his name? Jerry Springer. We want you to be a black Jerry Springer. I said, I'm not your guy. And hung up. He called me back again. He said, okay. He said, I'll be interested in what it is you're interested in. He said, but I'm going to send you something. And you're not going to hang up on me. You're going to call me back. So, okay, thank you very much. And I hung up. Then I got a call in my office. Sue Burkhart was down at the other end of the office. And she said, you won't believe this. I said, Sue, why are you calling me on the phone? We're right in the office. She said, I was so nervous. I couldn't believe it. I just opened up the mail. I said, well, come on down. Why are you nervous? She said, look at this. And it was a check that this guy, Michael King, I had no idea, it was King World, check for $1.2 million with my name on it. I said, this can't be real. I called him back. I said, hello, may I speak to Mr. King, please? Let me tell you. Oh, my God. He said, I told you you were going to call me. I said, I know. Things are going to happen for you that you cannot anticipate. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind. When you keep your commitment to your commitment on your dream, because that's been given to you. And there are many times that a dream will test you. How badly do you want it? That's going to happen to you. And so as you look at yourself and look at your goals and dreams, let us say together, it's possible. It's necessary. I let some people go. See, a lot of people don't ever live up to their true potential and never access their greatness because you can't soar like an eagle if you're surrounded with pigeons. There's some people you got to let go. That takes courage. There's a reason we're taught to be of good courage. It takes courage. Let us say together, let go or be dragged. There's some people that will compromise your energy, that they don't have the vision that you have and the dream that you have. Les, can I change them? No. It's a full-time job changing yourself. And there's some people so negative, they can walk into a dark room and begin to develop. Oh, behave, whatever. The millennials, they don't know about that, all right? Yeah, they're nourishing relationships and they're toxic relationships. Nourishing relationships, they bring the best out of you. They challenge you. That's my relationship with Al. I feel younger because I'm in his energy and his vision, and he moves quickly. He's making things happen. And he sees the possibilities in me. I don't look like an old man to him. He can see that I still got the juice. Can you tell I got the juice up in here, all right? And so you need people who can see your stuff, who get you, who know you. And so, won't you write this down? Upgrade your relationships. Jim Rohn said this. Look at your relationships and ask the question, what is this relationship doing to me? Am I growing mentally and emotionally and spiritually? What is it doing to me? Am I becoming a better person? You have a 41% greater chance of reaching your goals when you have accountability partners. You want to create, as you look at your goals and dreams, a strategy for working on your mindset. Because you don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you are. People don't live life as it is, they live life as they are. No one could have told me, given my circumstances, if my birth parents stood up and said, hello, son, I would not know either one. No one could have told me, being labeled educable, mentally retarded, and failing twice in school, that in an hour and a half, I could earn over $450,000 in an hour and a half. And I don't say that to impress you, but to impress upon you of what your potential is. You've got some stuff in you that you don't even know right now. And the reason you showed up here, it's only for me to confirm and to validate that which is already in you. If you didn't know in your heart of hearts what I'm saying is true, you wouldn't be here. You'd have left already. I'm an assassin. I'll kill every demon in you, every mediocre demon. Trust me on this. You better run while you can. This is no time to be average. The reason you showed up, because you know you've got greatness in you. Let us say together, I've got greatness in me. And it's my time to express that greatness. Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, I'm ready to bring it out. Do that right now. Shake somebody's hand on your right and left and say, I'm ready to bring it out. Here's your homework. Get a 3x5 card and write on one side, I give thanks. Like on my card I have, I give thanks. I'm healed of cancer. I give thanks. I read that a minimum of 3 times a day. On the flip side, I read Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. For everyone that asketh, receive it. He that seeketh, find it. To him that knocketh, it shall be open. I read that a minimum of 3 times a day. Why? It's been 27 years, hasn't happened yet. When will a baby walk? It will walk when it walks. And while some walk sooner than others. When will it talk? It will talk when it talks. When will you be healed? You will be healed when you are healed. So don't give up. It's what Og Mandino said. He said, persist until you succeed. And I'm learning some things. There's some things that I used to be concerned about. I'm not concerned about anymore. When someone looks at you and say you have cancer, there are things that you used to worry about. You don't worry about them anymore. I screen various phone calls. I don't take everybody's call. Why? I don't have the mental bandwidth for it. I have a criteria before I take a phone call. This is worth writing down. Number one, is it positive? If it's not positive, I'm not taking it. 2, is it productive? Is this the best use of my time? 3, is it purposeful? Is it in alignment with the direction in which I'm going in? And 4, is there some benefit for both of us in it? I don't have time to waste. Am I making sense to you on this?
Yes.
And so one of the things I encourage you, the guy asked me, if you had to talk to the 30-year-old Les Brown, what would you say to him? I would say to him, take a chance on yourself. For 14 years, I didn't take a chance on me. I believe what was said to me. Mama said, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. How many of you know words can really hurt and very deep? Am I correct on that? All right? And so we're taught, be ye not conformed to this world. And so in the environment where I was, I mean, I remember one of the worst moments of my life. I was 5 years old, went downtown with Mama, and I saw this water fountain. I let her hand go, and I ran up and started drinking from this water fountain, Miami, Florida, 95 degrees. Mama grabbed me by the neck and started beating me, punching me in the face and the head. I'm like, Mama, please, Mama, it's me, with a crazed look in her eyes. And I had no idea, why would you do that? Please, Mama. And then this white police officer came up and he was hitting his nightstick in his hand. Okay. You beat that little nigger boy enough. That's okay now. He's learned his lesson. Now, I won't have to beat him. And Mama said, thank you, officer, thank you. As he walked away laughing. And I said, Mama, why you beat me like that? She said, Leslie, you could never drink from that kind of water fountain. It's for whites only. Had he hit you with his nightstick, Leslie, he would have had to kill me. And I'd have left you and your brothers and sisters to fend for yourself. I had to make a quick decision. It was hard. I'm so sorry. I said, Mama, it's okay. It's okay. Let us say together, defining moments. How many of you have ever had a defining moment in your life? Raise your hands. That was a defining moment for me. And I remember as we were going back on the bus on Miami Beach, I was, I'm like 5 years old and I couldn't understand why could I not just not drink from that fountain? There's only one kind of fountain I can drink from. And here's what I know, that in life, you're going to encounter some things. And you can allow that to define you, or you define yourself. I was talking to a lady in the audience, and she was working for this company. And they told her she'd been training managers and helping to develop their managers and teaching them the leadership skills that would help them to become successful. And she said, you know, I want to be a manager. And they said, you can't do that. And so Stephanie Blake quit. Where are you, Stephanie? Give a round of applause. Yeah. So Stephanie quit, and she decided that she was not going to allow them to define her future and who she was going to become. So now Stephanie, she speaks, and on her card she say, we help you live the life you've worked for. That she'd worked for helping people to develop their leadership and managerial skills. And even though where she was, they said, you can't do that. We don't have women managers. She decided to create her own path. as you look at yourself and look at your goals, Helen Keller said that in life, that when one door closes, another door opens. But most of us spend so much time looking at and talking about the closed door, we don't see the open door. I like something that Marion White said. He said, in life, when you don't have enough courage or insight to know that you have outgrown a situation and it's time to move on, life will move on you. And so stuff's going to happen, but you have the power, just as Stephanie, to decide that's not going to define you. You have the power. You can become bitter. You can become better. And so I realized that in order for me to make it, I had to become better. And I started programming myself, listening to motivational messages, reading 30 to 40 pages of something positive every day for my mindset. And I encourage you to do that. Why? Because you can take some hits. Things are going to happen. People are being replaced on jobs at an accelerated rate with artificial intelligence and robots and in a global economy. And so this is a time that you have to reinvent yourself and look for ways in which you can better your best. Today, you either expand or you are expendable. Let us say together, I'm expanding my vision of myself. I still have the juice. I can do more. There is more in me. The best is yet to come. So let us say together, it's possible. I can live my dream. It's necessary. My dream is necessary. Of being debt free. Drama free. Stress free. And happy. And it's me. See, George Washington Carver, I like this quote. He said, do what you can where you are with what you have and never be satisfied. George Bernard Shaw said, the people that are making this life, they look around for the circumstances that they want. And if you can't find them, they create them. And so this is a time that is the most incredible time in history, that we have everything we need to live our dreams. Everything you need. You can learn whatever it is that you desire to do. And with collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships and the drive, the hunger that you're going to make it happen, and not giving up because, and I can share with you based upon what I know, you will fail your way to success. You're going to fail your way to success. And 86% of people allow the fear of failure to outweigh their desire to succeed. You're going to fail your way to success. And when you're willing to come back again and again, it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. What matters is how many times you get back up and say, that's all you got? And I can tell you that I remember going through a divorce from someone that I love very much. And my best friend, Boo, died waiting on a liver transplant. And my mother died. And I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. It was a tough time. And I parked. I took some hits. I was knocked senseless. I've seen fights where a referee would step in and stop it because they can tell the guy didn't have enough to continue. He couldn't even raise his hands to defend himself. How many ever seen that before? And that's where I was. I took those hits. And I learned something through all of that. That the key when that happens is continue to affirm to yourself, no matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I kept saying to myself, had nothing to point to, had no evidence that I could build a case for my ability to recover from what I was going through. Had no, my mother, I'd never seen anyone die before. My mother and mama took her last breath. I remember saying, Mama, I'm gonna make you proud. I'm gonna make you proud that you chose us. I'm gonna make you proud. And I remember before she had lost consciousness, she said, you're gonna be all right, Leslie. You're gonna be all right. And that stayed with me. And I ask now, this stage of my life, I want people to know, I believe that there's a calling on all of our lives, that we were created on purpose, with a purpose. Some people find out right away. Others experiment like I did. I used to be a disc jockey, a state legislator, a community activist, a photographer. I used to book concerts. I did a variety of things, just trying to find my place. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just trying to find something that resonated with me. My granddaughter, she's working as a security officer at this place, and she said, Grandpa, I gotta leave here. I said, why? She said, this is not me. I'm supposed to be designing clothes for people. That's what I'm supposed to do. Walking around a parking lot or riding on this little cart to make sure somebody's not stealing a car. This is not me. It's about to drive me crazy. I said, baby, I said, a friend of mine named Darren, and he's written a book called The Misplaced Life. I said, you're living a misplaced life. And there is a place for you that resonates with you. You're just not there now, but you have to do what you need to do in order for you to get to that place. She said, okay, Grandpa. I said, in order to get there, baby, you gotta be hungry. Why do you keep on saying that? People that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do in order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. People that are hungry go all out. People that are hungry don't need an alarm clock to get up in the morning. People that are hungry, they use their time wisely to learn all that they can. People that are hungry know that average is over. Whatever you do, you've got to master it. You've got to make yourself stand out. She said, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. I said, good. She said, can you send me somebody to be tired? I said, I knew that was coming. Let us say together, it's me. Let us say together, it's hard. How many of you know it's hard? I remember saying to Mike Williams, there's a book I encourage you to get called The Road to Your Best Stuff. I wrote the foreword for it. My mentor, Mike Williams, he saw this, Les Brown, before I saw him, The Road to Your Best Stuff. He said, Brownie, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. He said, all of us are born the same way, dumb, naked, and speechless. Don't be intimidated because of these guys who have PhDs and MBAs or more money than you. Don't worry about that. It's not what you don't have, it's what you think you need that keeps you from becoming successful. You think you need four color brochures. You think you need investors. No, what you need is the belief in you. You are the money. You've got to believe in you, Brownie. And he was right. From that day when I accepted that I could do this, the easiest thing I've done is to earn millions of dollars doing what I love to do. The most difficult thing that I've ever done that took years for me to do was to believe that I could do it. That me, Les Brown, Mamie Brown's baby boy, that I have the ability to do it. Speaking over 51 countries. And I don't say this to impress you, but to impress upon you what's in you. Speaking before 80,000 people and being able to hold that audience. I don't say this to impress you, but to impress upon you that there's some stuff in you. There's abilities and talents in you that when you stretch yourself, when you're willing to reach forward, when you are ready to go to that next level because you got to that point within yourself where you said, looking around where you are, I've had it. I've had it. I'm not going out like this. No. And some of you are there right now that you know there's more. You know it. You can feel in your heart of hearts. You know it. And you're ready for the breakthrough. Let us say together, it's my time. It's my winning season. Let's say it together, together please, with power, feeling, and conviction. It's my winning season.
It's my time.
I'm ready to live a bigger life. Yes, it's your time. Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. It's your time. It's your winning season. It's time for your breakthrough. Things are going to happen for you because you got it like that. Let us say together, it's possible.
It's necessary.
It's me.
It's me.
It's hard.
It's
worth it. A friend of mine, he was going across Europe, sleep on a train at different points. Soldiers would board the train and ask, who are you? Where have you been? And where are you going? Those three questions. And so I ask you, who are you? God asks Adam, Adam, where are you and who are you? Where are you in your life? When you look in the mirror, do you see the person you thought you would be at this point in your life? Where have you been? What brought you here? Why did you show up? Same information, same marketing. With some entertainers, you have people around the block. But you didn't come here to be entertained. You came here to be reminded of what you already know. So, where are you going? I want you to think about that. And wherever you're going, I want you to see it in your mind's eye, complete it. See it. See it. See it in your mind's eye. Give you all your eyes can see. See it accomplished. And experience what it's like. And say, thanks. If you're facing a challenge, see yourself on the other side and say, I got through it. Thank you. I'm still here. Thank you. I got my right mind. Thank you. I got heart. I got spirit. Thank you. I'm still standing. See it. And Nietzsche said, if you know the why for living, you can endure almost anyhow. What drives you? What keeps you going? Lewis Howe asked me the question, what's your reason? I have some new reasons. Mama has since made her transition. I want to make my mother proud. I've got children. I got grandchildren. I got four great-grandsons. I want to make a mark. I want to make a difference. My daughter, Ona, called me one day and she said, Daddy, what are you doing? I said, I'm at my desk. She said, oh, there's a police officer in the middle of the road and traffic stopped and they're waiting for a funeral to come by. Then all of a sudden she said, whoa, wow. I said, what's wrong? She said, oh my God. I said, was there an accident? She said, no. A hearse came by and there was only one car behind it. She said, when I go, I want there to be a long procession of cars. When I go, I want, because of the impact I made on people's lives, that the cemetery would be packed with people to celebrate that I came this way. How many of you would like to have a greater impact? Raise your hands, please. Yes. And so let us say together, live full,
die empty.
One night when I was comforting myself, I had 238 radiation seed implants. And my PSA, which stands for prostate specific antigen, had risen to 2,400. And cancer they said it metastasized to 7 areas of my body. And I was reading Dr. Howard Thurman, who wrote Deep is the Hunger, The Voice of the Genuine, The Centering Moment. He said the ideal situation for a man or woman to die is to have family members praying with them as they cross over. He said, but imagine, if you will, being around your deathbed, people, ghosts, looking at you, saying, we came to you, and only you could have given us life, and now we must die with you forever. Miles Monroe, great preacher out of Bahamas, said the wealthiest place on the planet is not in the Far East where there's oil in the ground. It's not South Africa where the diamond mines. He said the wealthiest place on the planet is a cemetery. Books that were never written. Potential never realized. Gifts, talents, skills, art, music the world never heard. Repeat after me, please. Live full.
Live full.
Die empty.
Die empty.
See, the question comes, if you died today, what dreams, what inventions, what ideas? Help me with a microphone, please. Come on, this is not an ever-ready battery. It's tired. Help a brother out up in here, up in here. Thank you, sir.
Anything for you.
Thank you, grasshopper. Y'all remember Kung Fu? Y'all got that grasshopper? Oh, that's all right. The millenniums, they don't know about that. That was when television was television. You understand what I'm talking about? All right. And so, as you look at yourself, look at your goals, here's something that I do now. If you had 6 months to live, 6 months, you knew that, what would you do? How would you spend your time? Who would you spend time with? Would you still be doing the same thing that you're doing now? That's how I resigned from the Ohio legislature. I wrote down, if I had 6 months to live. And this guy, I was reading his book, How to Get Control of Your Time and Your Life. And my sister had called me and said, Mama had breast cancer. And what I wrote down, I would resign from the Ohio legislature, go back to Miami, fulfill my promise and commitment to take care of my mama. And then I turned the page, said, as far as you know, this could be your last day. I remember being in Las Vegas at a table with Frank Sinatra at that time. My wife was Gladys Knight, and I overheard him say to someone, live each day as if it were your last, because one day it will be. So if you had 6 months to live, how would you spend your time? What are the things that you would do? What are the grudges or the hard feelings or the anger that you have against some loved one that you'll let go? How would you spend that time? That's something to think about. And when you get home tonight, think about that. Give it some thought. And live as much of it as you can. Because we don't know. We all have an expiration date. We don't know the time, the day, or the hour when our number's going to be up. Let us say together, I deserve the best that life has to offer. I'm willing to work on myself. I'm willing to upgrade my relationships. I'm willing to answer the call on my life. I'm willing to go through some stuff to get to my stuff. It's worth it to me. It gives my life meaning and significance. I'm here for a reason. I'm ready to live life on my terms. And let us say together, you gotta be hungry. I never forget, Mr. Washington said, Mr. Brown, what do you want to do with your life, young man? I said, sir, I want to take care of my mother. He said, how do you plan to do that? I said, I'd like to become a disc jockey. He said, you got to be hungry. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, people that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do in order to have the things tomorrow others won't have. He said, people that are hungry are relentless and unstoppable. No excuse is acceptable. People that are hungry work on themselves. How do you plan to do that? How do you plan to get the money to take care of your mother? What do you bring to the table of life, Mr. Brown? Sir, I want to be a disc jockey. That's what I want to do. I want to be on radio. Good. Here are my car keys. What do I need this for? Well, there's a guy named Paul Harvey. He does a program called The Rest of the Story. He's the best storyteller on radio. Listen to him. You want to be successful? He said, watch and study people that are doing what it is you want to do. Those who master it and you want to study them. Success leaves clues. I said, yes, sir. I will, and I listen to this guy, Paul Harvey, every day. And finally, I said, Mr. Washington, I've done what you told me to do. I listened to him, and I've created my own program. You told me it's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. Yes, I did, Mr. Brown. I said, well, I've done that, sir. I have my own concept, my own show. I've been practicing. I've visualized myself being on the air like you told me. Good. Let us say together, relationship capital. You want to create relationship capital. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Relationship capital. Al brings a set of skills and values and imagination and energy and creativeness and unstoppable spirit that helps me go to that next level. The things I'm going to be able to do with him that I could never do by myself, in spite of the fact that I've been doing this before he was born. I believe you're never too old to learn, and you're never too young to teach. And so that's relationship capital. It's paying off for me and my children in a variety of ways. And so he said, here's my card. Go to WMBM radio station. Tell them I told you to go there. Milton Butterball Smith is a program director. I went to the radio station, and I'll never forget, as I was leaving his room, he said, you got to be hungry. I said, yes, sir. I'm hungry, sir, to take care of my mother. I'm hungry to set her down. I'm hungry to pay all the bills and provide for her. Good. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I'd like to be a disc jockey. Young man, do you have any journalism in your background? No, sir, I don't. Have any experience in broadcasting at all? No, sir, I don't. He said, I'm sorry. We don't have any job for you. How many have ever been rejected? Raise your hands, please. I was devastated with rejection. I went back and I said, Mr. Washington. He said, no. He said, don't take it personally. Most people are so negative, they have to say no 7 times before they say yes. He said, you got to be hungry. Go back again. I went back again. Hello, Mr. Butterball. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I like to be a disc jockey. I know what your name is. Weren't you here yesterday? Yes, sir. Didn't I tell you no yesterday? Yes, sir, you did. Then why are you back today? Well, sir, I didn't know whether or not somebody was laid off or somebody was fired, sir. No one was laid off or fired. Now, get on out of here. I came back the next day, talking loud, looking happy, like I was seeing him for the first time. Hello, Mr. Vodavall. How are you, sir? My name is Les Brown, sir. I'd like to be a disc jockey. I know what your name is. Weren't you here the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Didn't I tell you no the last 2 days? Yes, sir. Then why are you back today? Sir, I didn't know whether or not someone got sick or someone died, sir. No one got sick or died. No one was laid off or fired. Now, don't you come back here again. I came back the next day, talking loud, looking happy, like I was seeing it for the first time. Hello, Mr. Vodavall. How are you? He looked at me betrayed. He says, go get me some coffee. I said, yes, sir. The book of life says the greatest among you will be your servant. How many of you are serious about your goals and dreams? Raise your hands, please. This is one. Repeat after me, please. Provide more service than you get paid for. Yeah, see, most people work just hard enough to keep from being fired. No, no, no. You want to provide more service than you get paid for. Why? People form habits and habits create futures. And so I became the errand boy for the disc jockeys. I'd go get their lunch and their dinner, and I'd stand in the control room watching them work their hands on the control board, knowing my time will come. I want you to think about your golden dream right now. Let us say together, I expect to win. I see it. I feel it. It's my time. And so the disc jockeys were impressed with me serving them and being a resource, the go-to person. And when they would come out on the weekend and look at their cars, be waxed and clean inside out, and they said, hey, who did this? I did, sir. How much you charge, young boy? Oh, nothing, sir. I just wanted to help out. They looked at me differently. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. Said, listen, Donna Ross and Supremes are coming to town. The Four Tops and the Temptations. I want you to pick them up and drive them to the Fountain Blue Hotel on Miami Beach. Be my pleasure, sir. I would drive these entertainers all over Miami Beach and disc jockeys, big long Cadillacs. I didn't have any driver's license, but I was driving like I had stuff. Then one day, it was a Saturday afternoon. A disc jockey by the name of Rockin' Roger was drinking while he was on the air. Rockin' Roger began to slur his words. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I was the only one there, looking at him through the control room window, walking back and forth. Young, ready, and hungry. I was saying, drink, Rock, drink. Drink, Rock, I'd have gone and get him some more if he'd asked me to. Then pretty soon the phone rang. It was the general manager, and I answered the phone. I said, hello? He said, young boy, this is Mr. Klein. I said, I know. He said, Rock can't finish the program. I said, I know. He said, would you call one of the other DJs in? I said, yes, sir. I hung the phone up. I said, now he must be think I'm crazy. I called my mom and my girlfriend Cassandra. I said, y'all come out on the front porch and turn on the radio. I'm about to come on the air. I waited for about 20 minutes and I called him back and said, Mr. Klein, I can't find nobody. He said, young boy, you know how to work the controls? I said, yes, sir. He said, go in there and segue the records, but don't you say nothing here. I said, yes, sir. I couldn't wait to get old Rock out of the way. I put on a fast record by Stevie Wonder called Fingertips. I said, look out, this is me, LB Triple P, Les Brown, your platter playing papa. There were none before me and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, dubably qualified to bring you satisfaction and a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry. I was hungry. Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, you got to be hungry. Do that right now. Shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, you got to be hungry. In front of you and behind you. People that are hungry, believe, always strive to get on top in life because it's the bottom that's overcrowded. People that are hungry, believe, do what you know, not what you feel. People that are hungry, believe as Henry David Thoreau, who said, do not go where the path may lead, go where there's no path and leave a trail. People that are hungry believe in building a legacy, living a life of significance, making an impact, live from their faith and not from their fears. People that are hungry are people like you. I'm looking at greatness in this room. There's a calling on your life. I don't know you. Here's what I know. Listen to that still small voice within. I didn't listen for years. Because for a long period of my life, I was temporarily insane. How many of y'all could identify with me? Come on, huh? I was crazy. I said, it can't be me. Come on, Lord. got 10 children, 5 girls and 5 boys. I'm a baby Christian. Lord, say, be fruitful and multiply. I took him seriously. But I'm like the lady who said, Lord, I ain't what I ought to be. Ain't what I'm going to be. And thank God I showed him what I was. When I pray now, I get down on my knees. I know God's just cracking up. Say, I can't believe you. There you are now. Yeah, you got cancer now. You're down on your knees. Huh? Yeah, I see you. Yeah, this thing called life. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me? Have you enjoyed what you've heard so far? Thank you. Thank you. One of my first students, Al McDougall, who's from here, and my very good friend and business partner, so glad to be in his hometown. He's been with me for quite a while. I'd like to answer any questions that you might like to ask me. This place where I'm in my life, and this new chapter, creating this next greatest version of myself at 74. I look good for 74, don't I? Come on now, give it up. And you know, I don't dye my hair because I have an allergic reaction, but I do use mascara to cover the gray. Oh, behave, whatever. Let me tell you. It takes me a long time, but I get it done. I got to tell you all this. I had to give this speech, right? It was the Georgia Dome speech that you saw when you came in. So at the end of my speech, a lady said, Mr. Brown, I know you are tired and you just gave a speech, but our speaker, he canceled and we need you to come over and speak for us. I said, I'm tired, ma'am. She said, but we can pay your full fee. I said, the Lord is able. People say money won't make you happy, but everybody want to find out for themselves. So they took me over to the Georgia World Congress Center. It was a very intimate setting, and people were close to the stage, you know? So I came in, I looked at the audience that I'd been perspiring. After speaking to these 80,000 people, I said, where's the restroom? They took me to the restroom. I went in there, and I started covering up the gray. I've been sweating, you know, trying to get it all together before I'd go in there. So the lady, as I stood at the end of the stage, she wanted everybody to know that she knew me. She said, there he is, Les Brown. So I came up on the stage, and she kissed me on the cheek, and I kissed her on the cheek, left this big black smudge. So I didn't know what to do, so I just sat down. So people started saying something to her about this, and she said, what are they saying? I said, I don't know. So finally, a lady came up and gave her a mirror. She looked and she saw the big black smudge in her face where I kissed her. She said, how did this get here? I said, I don't know. You think maybe this rubs off? Now I use waterproof Mademoiselle. A brother's got to do what he's got to do. Now some of y'all going to need a paintbrush, all right? So, okay, oh, behave, whatever. So... I do have issues. So, any questions you'd like to ask me, please? Well, you know, somebody stand up who had your hand up. My email address, first of all, at this stage of my life, let me tell you what I'm up to, is training voices of hope. I believe the world is as it is, not because a few people are hateful, divisive, and violent. The world is as it is because too many people are silent. And so my goal is to create voices of hope. Every 42 seconds, someone commits suicide on this planet. And to teach speakers and presenters how to grow their business because your voice, you tell the story about your business. Be involved in multi-level marketing, how to explode your growth in terms of recruiting people and bringing out the best in them. If you want to make a difference in lives of youth, I'm creating a in-prison recidivism program that is designed to reduce the recidivism rate and also to decrease the incarceration rate. And I've developed a process of working with kids to eliminate what I call AIDS, addiction to incarceration and death syndrome, HIV, hood-infected virus. So this involves the next chapter of my life. And if you have a voice, you have a story, if you have a passion for making a difference in people's lives, and you're hungry and you want to build a business doing something that gives your life a sense of meaning and keeps you young, even when you have to use mascara, my email is... text me and say, I was at the event in Sudbury and I'm hungry to be mentored by... Gentleman had his hand up. Yes, stand up. Ask a question, please. Yes. Joe versus the volcano. Yes. Yes, the best way to do it is what I'm doing now. And that is that the first time I stood up to speak, I stood up and my mind sat down. I choked. And you have to confront that fear. You experience the fear, as Al said earlier, and you do it anyhow. You know, Goethe said, that which does not kill you will make you stronger. And decide that I'm going to do this in spite of how frightening it is, in spite of the odds being against me, in spite of what people say, in spite of the fact that I don't have everything going for me as the competition does. Do it in spite of, because you owe it to yourself and to the planet. Does that help you, sir? Thank you. Yes. Celeste, would you please come up and bless us with your voice? Celeste used to be my assistant. Now she's my business partner. Let's give Celeste Johnson a tremendous round of applause.
Woo! Wasn't that fantastic? Woo! I have had the privilege to hear him many, many, many times. I've traveled with him. I say Les Brown 1.0. This was years ago. I traveled for a couple of years with him, so I've heard him many times. Then we kind of went our separate ways, and I went to speaking and all of that, and then I'm back working with him. So even though I've heard a lot of those stories, it is so wonderful and so empowering and so encouraging. So I'm excited to be on the team again. And this one song that I was singing to him, we were doing some work, and I said, hey, I used to perform in this play. I've done a lot of things as well. And this one play is just really great. And I started singing. He said, hey, you should sing that at one of our events. I said, okay. I know time is passing, and I'm just going to get into it. But it's called Live Every Day. Say that, live every day. Live every day. You want to love people, that's the L. You want to love on them and learn consistently. It's a wonderful thing to do. And then you want to inspire other people. Make that a part of your effort every day. And then innovate, that's the other I. So then you want to volunteer. Volunteer, as he was talking about, giving and really making an impact with people. So really do that and venture out into new things. Try new things. It's a wonderful thing when you do that. Coming here is new. I've never been here, and I love it. It's really great. I went to the Big Nickel. Hey, took pictures and all that. Woo! It was great. And then, of course, E, you want to engage with people, always engaging in real ways, not surface, not with the mask, but in real ways. So it's called Live Every Day. Can you hit the music? Can you turn it up a little bit? Gotta keep dreaming. When your problems get you down, don't you drown in reality. Oh, live. Gotta keep living. Keep your eye on a star, no matter how far it seems. Live every day.
Celeste Johnson, yeah. Alan, where's Al?
I want to say, share with you that I'm so glad to be here. And you, no, you're not. But next time I come back, I'm gonna say. I'm going to tell you the song I'm singing. I've been taking voice lessons. Love Me Tender by Elvis. That's my favorite song, all right? Oh, you laugh if you want to, but you're going to want the ticket, all right? Some of you will faint, including the fellows, all right? I'm coming back, and that's one of my goals. But I want to thank you. Thank you for being who you are and how...
Thank you.
much less